This Advent Health 400 DFS Picks edition of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, NASCAR, F1, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code RACESGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We are also brought to you by NYRA Bets. Sign up today for a $25 free bet and a $200 deposit bonus with promo code SGPN. 25. Join or just go to nyrabets.com/sgpn25.
Drivers, start your
strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the shit out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He's Cody Zeeb. I'm Rod Villagomez. Happy Friday, everybody out there. It is Cup DFS Day, and of course, we're going to throw in some underdog fantasy picks as well for you. Cody, we've reached the end of the week. So excited to be here on Friday, and so excited to be breaking down Cup DFS.
We made it, Rod. Happy Friday. Glad to be here. Going to be a good weekend. Going to be a fun weekend. Truck night in America tomorrow. Kansas Speedway under the lights. Going to be exciting. Again, this has been one of the most exciting tracks on the circuit in the next-gen era. It's delivered really good racing. I think we're in for a couple of good races this weekend. Yesterday, we talked about truck DFS and underdog picks as well. Make sure you go back and check that out also. But, ready to break down the Cup Series today.
Absolutely ready to break down the Cup Series today. Of course, it is the Advent 400 from the Kansas Speedway in Kansas City, Kansas. We are set to launch a 267 laps around this mile and a half paved track for 400.5 miles. Lap leaders on this one, Cody, we talked a little bit about this too when we were talking about it in the betting episode, when we were talking about the average laps. Not really a gigantic advantage for a lot of people over the last couple of years. Now, at some points, there's been over 100 and some odd laps led, but it's been pretty much spaced out over the last couple of years. And so you may be able to get a couple of dominators in your lineup and maybe select one or two and build lineups around those.
Yeah, I think you are going to need multiple. I think we had, 37 lead changes last spring in this race? It was a very big number. I think that we're going to get that again this weekend. I think there's going to be multiple drivers that lead good chunks of the race. So you're going to have to find, you're going to have to hit multiple guys that lead laps. And we talked about this being kind of a chalky week when it comes to the betting episode. I think that we're kind of going to be here the same way, at least at the top of the board, right? And we talked about this actually yesterday in the Truck Series episode as well. Chalky near the top, but then you got to differentiate yourself kind of in the middle. And farther on down the board, that's where you're going to make the difference. So, I think we can do that today.
Yeah, again, it's the whole – you got to just look at the whole totality of what we've seen on this track so far. I mean, we've seen Toyota dominate. We've seen a specific car dominate over the last three or four seasons. It's just – you're right. This is going to be a very chalky race. But like you said, where you start to make your money is back in the back end of this. And there's a lot of great people that we've identified to be those drivers for you. And so – up at the top, you're gonna hear the names that you're gonna expect to hear, and that's just how it's gonna have to be. We're not necessarily giving it to you because we're smart people, but because we want you to win money. And sometimes winning money means taking the obvious choice. Because if we told you to play outlandish plays every single week, you'd be like, why don't you guys ever give out winners? Because sometimes winners come from the easiest of places to predict. So what do you want? Calm down. Sorry. Friday got me all
Rod's
testy.
A little feisty on Friday today. I love it.
Feisty Friday. You know what else?
No
is-
Xfinity show this week, Rod, so we didn't get a chance to get our feistiness out.
This is true. This is true. I feel a little bit gypped on that aspect, but maybe maybe if you want feisty, you can watch the NHL playoffs. Stanley Cup playoffs going on right now, and so are the NBA playoffs. Playoffs! That's right. Make sure to tune in all week to the NBA and Hockey Gambling Podcast for episodes to get you locked in for exciting playoff action. Not to mention, it's Derby Week, and the Sports Gambling Podcast guys tune in with them. They're getting you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. I can't wait for the Kentucky Derby. I literally, like I said earlier in this week, I only really tune in for post. That's all I look for when post time is, and give myself like 5 minutes to watch the horses walk in, but I can't watch the whole thing up until that point.
I don't mind the whole thing. Like if I'm home and I got nothing going on, we got softball tournament this weekend. So I think I'm going to barely squeeze in post time right between games. So I'll be watching on my phone and rooting. I haven't placed my bets yet. I have the Sports Gambling Podcast. Of course, the main feed, they had the guys on, Malcolm and Wolf of Oaklawn, to give out their picks. So I've got that queued up. That's the next podcast in my queue. I'll see, get my advice there, place my bets, and then, I'll probably watch the 2 minutes for the most exciting part and be done.
I think I'm going to pick one out of the hat this year. I'm not even going to try to go
a little super speedway DFS style.
Because sometimes I feel like that's exactly it. Because not all the favorites don't always win in that. But anyways,
a couple upset winners lately. Hey,
this is true.
Great.
This is true.
Like the Daytona 500 round.
It is kind of like that at this point. We always do when it's a single series episode, we will give you a high price driver, a mid price driver, and a low price driver to help build out your DFS cards. And then of course, you know, you can use all six of them. Most of the time they fit. I don't know, maybe this week they may not fit, but
we got some cheap guys on there. They might.
That's true. And then you can mix and match and build your own. Of course, we always encourage you to build at least more than one lineup because listen, in NASCAR, you know a lineup can get torched in the matter of about a half a second.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to mention too. I think this will be a lot like last week at Dover where starting position doesn't really matter. Kyle Busch is going to tell you nobody can pass, but we saw it last week. Your top, four finishers started like 16th or worse, I think. It was something like that. And I think that we're going to have that here as well. There's going to be plenty of opportunities to flip strategy. Tire wear is going to come into play, all of that. So if you've got a play you like, don't be scared off just because they didn't qualify well. Again, laying down one lap sometimes isn't always the greatest barometer. We may not even get qualifying, Rod, depending on how this wonderful Midwest weather we've had lately shakes out. One other thing I wanted to note, we did talk about this yesterday on the Truck Series episode, and we mentioned this would probably be likely on the Cup betting episode, but Erik Jones is out of the car this week at Kansas. Corey Heim is in the car. He has been added to the DFS pool, 5,900. Honorable mention for him for a cheap play. I tossed him out. I like him as a top 10 bet. I still don't see odds on him, Rod, as we're recording this. So make sure you get that down whenever it comes out, because I think he's probably going to be 16-1 range or so. And I like that, but I think that's going to make him also a good DFS play at 5,900. So honorable mention for Corey Heim, and wanted to make sure that obviously, hopefully you're aware at this point that he'll be in the 43 this weekend.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it. He may even end up starting somewhere toward the back, which, man, that's going to be – I mean, it'll probably end up being chalk, but you got to eat that because if he does anything in this race and starts in the back, he's going to get really good for you.
Yeah, and they said that Erik Jones is going to be back next week. So, again, if you have a one-and-done pool, you might consider, you know, using a Heim this week if you want to, you know, save one of your bigger guys and burn later. But, just tossing it out there, Rob.
Indeed. All right, Cody. Well, then let's give out our high price drivers for this Advent 400 DFS slate. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to start with Tyler Reddick. Again, to speak to the chalk at the top of the board, Rod. I mean, really, we've kind of laid it out all week, but this is a track where 2311 shows up. This is a track where Toyota shows up, and specifically the 45 car shows up, right? We've had four next-gen races here at Kansas Speedway, Rod. Three of the four have been won by the 45 car, amazingly, with three different drivers. Of course, Kurt Busch won it, then Bubba Wallace won it, then Tyler Reddick got it here in the fall. And then the other one was by the 2311 owner, Denny Hamlin, also in a Toyota. So you're 4 for 4 when it comes to next-gen races here. And if you go even farther back, I think we've had, 7 of the last 9 have been Toyotas. I had that stat somewhere.
Was it eight of the last 10 have been Toyotas?
8 of the last 10, that's what it is. Winners at Kansas have been Toyotas. So it's been all about Toyotas, Rod. I'm leaning into that this weekend. And Tyler Reddick is a great one. You go back and you look at the 2.5 miles that we've had so far this season, right? Las Vegas, add 3 laps to that race. Tyler Reddick's your winner. He's running down Kyle Larson at the end. Just ran out of time to catch him. Then you go back to Texas a couple weeks ago. He only led 37 laps, but arguably had the fastest car. He finally worked his way up to the front. Then a slow pit stop, which is always the risk when you play Tyler Reddick. That's going to scare some people off of playing him this weekend. But I think you got to be invested in Toyota. I think you got to be invested in 2311. Like, you got to be invested in Tyler Reddick. So love Tyler Reddick this week at 10,700.
Yeah, I mean, look, in the betting episode, I kind of had him pegged. I mean, I chickened out, and I gave all the Toyota as a bet for my winner.
You made a smart bet, Rob.
Well, and I think I did, too, because it's like I just said on the back road last night. Look, if you're going to swing at me 8 or 10 times and hit me 8 of them, I'm ducking on all of them. I'm not trying to just say, this might be one of the 2 times where he's not going to hit me. No, I'm ducking every single time because I know you're going to connect more than you're not, so... I definitely love Reddick in this instance because he could very well jump up. And that 45 car, it's cemented in victory lane right now at Kansas. So for my high-priced driver, I'm going to go with another Toyota as well, and I'm going to go Denny Hamlin. He is the top of the board at $11,300. But, I mean, it's Denny Hamlin. Like, if I didn't have to really necessarily try to tell you about it because even the DFS guys know it, right? They put him as the most expensive driver on the board. He's got 3 wins this season, right, already. He won last week at Dover. It's so hard for me to say that he's going to go back-to-back and win, which is why in betting it's hard for me to really give him as an outright. But for DFS, you don't need that. You just need a good finish. Well, Denny Hamlin has had a good finish in the last 5 races that he's been in on this track. He finished second last fall, first last spring, second in the fall, the previous fall, and then fourth, and then fifth. Couple of bad finishes in the 2020 season and 2021 season, 12th and 15th, but 2 back-to-back wins in 2019 and the beginning of 2020. So, I mean, listen, he has finished better than he hasn't over the last few seasons. And for Denny Hamlin, this is a hell of a run. He's got the best average finish right now out of all drivers since February of 2021 with 4.3. The one win, the five top fives in 6 races. That's a hell of a stat right there. The next best finisher is Kyle Larson at 6. So, I mean, Denny Hamlin on intermediate tracks, average finish of 10th, right? 4 wins, 14 top fives, 20 top tens. It's Denny Hamlin. I probably shouldn't have to coach you past that, but that's where we're at.
I love, Rod, that I gave out Denny Hamlin as outright winner on the betting episode. You give him out on the DFS show. You gave out Tyler Reddick on the betting episode. I give him out on the DFS show. I think that goes to show you how confident we are in these two drivers this week. It's going to be really hard to not have these two drivers in almost every single lineup. I mean, and it's going to be chalky. I understand that. But sometimes you have to be chalky, and there's probably a reason that it's going to be this chalky, Rob.
And again, I mean, look, if you don't have these guys and you're trying to get cute and they go out and dominate this race, you just threw away all of your time and your money. So you have to get creative, which we'll do. We'll help you get creative down at the bottom of the board. But, I mean, you can't go into a cash game without one of these guys. You cannot. It's you're going to get eaten alive when they go out and they dominate. So keep that in mind as you start building your lineups because, again, it's the chalk. Sometimes the chalk is not always the best, but in this instance... You kind of have to have some piece of it somewhere, whether you
delicious
like it or not.
Strawberry flavored chalk, Rob.
Do they make that? Because I'm all over that now. What? Don't get strawberry chalk.
We may have actually, to. That sounds good.
We may have to put that in chalk. The merch store.
I think we just discovered something, Rod.
That's NASCAR gambling brand strawberry chalk.
Edible chalk. All right.
Look for it in your local grocery store, right next to the asbestos. All right, we're going to come back with our mid-tier drivers and not kill you. But first, let me tell you about NYRA. Bet the run for the roses with NYRA bets. Score big on the Kentucky Derby with a double dose of rewards. Sign up today for a $25 free bet and $200 deposit bonus with promo code SGPN25. Join now to claim your $25 free bet and $200 deposit bonus at nyrabets.com/SGPN25. You need more convincing? You probably don't, but I'll give you some anyways. Bet Kentucky Oaks Day with a $30 bonus. Opt in and bet at least $150 on Belmont at the Big A and Churchill down $30, win or lose. And we're giving you an extra $50 for Derby 150. Bet $250 on each the Belmont at the Big A and Churchill Downs for a $50 bonus, win or lose. Visit NYRABets.com to opt in. NYRA Bets has everything you need to bet the fastest 2 minutes in sports with confidence. For expert picks, betting insights, promotions, and more, visit NYRABets.com and make sure to claim that $25 free bet and $200 deposit bonus at NYRABets.com/SGPN25.
If you're going to be betting on a rod, might as well use them.
So, I'm telling you.
I think that all those bonuses sound pretty good. So, yeah. Rod, 2311, did send out a tweet earlier this week. It said, there's nothing like home, and then in parentheses, tracks with a rock of wheat. And it says it's got the yellow brick road. It's got all their wins painted on the yellow brick road there with the Emerald City in the background with the 2311 guys. So I'm going to stick in the theme of being their home track because they own this place, Rod. And I'm going to go to the other 2311 driver, Bubba Wallace, $9,500, Rod. Mentioned it earlier, you could have two dominators, you could have three dominators in this race. Bubba Wallace has the upside of being one of those guys. Bubba Wallace loves this track. His one career non-super speedway win, Rod, right here at Kansas Speedway. Extremely fast here in the fall, was running in third place. The tire goes down, hits the wall, unfortunately ends his day early. But in the spring, he was fourth place, while Denny Hamlin went on to win that race, of course. And then in the fall of 2022, had got that win here, led 58 laps that day. He was seventh at Texas. He did wreck at Vegas earlier this season, so didn't get a good glance at him there, but led 111 laps at Texas last fall. Again, these are the types of reasons that Bubba Wallace has the big upside this weekend. He can lead 111 laps. He can lead 58 laps. He can win these races. He did finish fourth at Las Vegas last season as well. So very good on mile and a half. 2311 is good on mile and a half, specifically good at Kansas. Bubba Wallace is good at mile and a half, specifically good at Kansas. Toyota's good at mile and a half, specifically good at Kansas. It all adds up, Rod. 3 + 3 + 3. 23 is the answer. Give me Bubba Wallace, 9,500.
You know, we were talking in the back road yesterday, and somebody put up the scenario that we could see like the 45, the 23, and the 11 all inside of the, well, and they put them at 1, 2, 3. That's a little wishful thinking, but I mean, it could happen, right?
I mean, we've gave out three picks so far, Rod, and those are the three we've given out. Nice. So, again, I hate to be super chalky in a general sense, but if you're going to do it, this is a week for it. And man, I just, again, you can make the case for Kyle Larson and he can lead laps, and William Byron maybe can, even, I'm not really that confident in these other guys. Truex, there's some hope there, maybe, especially being in the Toyota camp. Ty Gibbs, I think, is kind of a sleeper pick. But these three guys are just head and shoulders above everyone else. And lump Larson in there as well. Those four guys, I think, are kind of head and shoulders above everyone else. And that's going to be how it is. So you're going to have to pick. You can probably get three of the four in. So we're leaving Larson out in this scenario. But there you go. That's how we're doing it.
Hey, we're leaving Larson out, but we're also going to put Joey Logano in. This one's a plug your nose and plug this one in. Listen, we get it. And you at home are listening right now going, but Cody says that Joey Logano is the toughest driver to predict each and every week. And you're damn right. Well, we're going to give it a shot this week because, look, the last two races for Joey Logano here at Kansas have actually gone well. Now, the two before that, not so much. 2022, not a great year for him. Even though it was even year Joey, even though it was the year he won the championship, he still did not finish well at Kansas. But last season, started sixth in the spring, finished sixth in the spring, led eight laps along the way. Not a tremendously fantastic day for him as a driver and a better maybe, but good DFS day because he didn't lose you any points. He led you eight laps along the way. And this week, he's $8,300. So, again, it's a step down from the elite category of these $11,000 drivers into a more comfortable tier. And I think an $8,000 price for him is one that's going to make a lot of people like Cody look away and say, I am not taking Joey Logano, because when I look at his season so far, it has been average finish of 17th, average start of 11th, right? You can't find a good thing to say about him. However, he did start ninth in, or he did finish ninth in Las Vegas, and was able to get you a pretty decent day there, 28 points, although he was $10,000 there. If he got you 28 this week, that'd be a lot better. But you've seen his price take a dip because of the fact that he hasn't been consistent at all. But he did get you 45 at Texas. He got you 73 at Martinsville. He got you 61 in the Toyota 400 at Richmond. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, again, like, there's a path for Joey Logano to have a good DFS day. It's going to be up and down. You're going to be throwing your foam brick at your television most of the day. But I think the price is right to just take a gamble on him on some GPPs.
Yeah, I'm a little torn on this because I think that in a general sense, yeah, a lot of people aren't going to want to play him. I'm going to look at him and be like, well, he's the hardest guy to predict, which is actually kind of a reason to take him because he is hard to predict, so people are going to avoid him. I've seen so many people on him at 40-1 this week. I just don't see it happening. I don't know. But, I mean, if you think about it, 8,300 for Joey Logano, who won the championship two seasons ago. His team's won the championship two seasons in a row. I mean, if you would have said, you know, after his championship at Phoenix just two seasons ago, a season and a half ago, you're going to get Joey Logano at 8,300, you'd have been like, damn, I'll take that every time. So hard to argue too much with it, at least, Rob.
Like I said, we're not predicting a win. We're not predicting him to go fly off into the moon. Like, I just want him to have a good, solid day. Like, I'll take a top 15 out of Joey Logano at $8,300. And, you know, maybe he does on strategy lead a couple of laps. Maybe he actually has some fast laps sprinkled in there as well. I mean, whatever the magic formula is for Joey Logano to have a good day, that's what I want. That's all I want out of him. So, that, like I said, this, please, Joey Logano, please, 8 pounds, 6 ounce, baby Jesus. Give Joey Logano a good day, and thank you for the Taco Bell. Yeah, we'll call it there. All right. We'll dip down to the low price driver, Cody, before we go completely off the rails. But first, let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy. We're going to tell you all about Underdog Fantasy here in a little bit. We're going to give you all of our favorite plays for this race. But the NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing in their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. And, of course, we know in the world of racing, better than or worse than the projected finishing position of each driver. You can make entries of just all basketball, or you can mix and match across your other favorite sports. Win up to 100 times your money. It's a ton of fun. New customers, you're going to get a pick'em special in the lobby when you sign up, so go make sure you check out what today's special is. Underdog's also going to be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash, airdrop specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. Make sure to follow at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog is available in 30 states, including California, Texas, Canada, and more. They just launched Champions, their player versus player format, in Florida, too. Make sure you sign up with our promo code RACESGPN. Underdog's going to double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code RACESGPN. Let's save some money, Cody, shall we? What's the low price driver we got?
Let's save some money, Rod. I'm going to jump over to my guy, Riley Herbst, $5,300 this week, Rod. He is going to be in one of the Rick Ware racing cars. But, Rod, this is going to be a Stuart Haas prepped Rick Ware car. I know you threw a little slander at Stuart Haas last night on the back road. I was listening. I heard that. I don't know if you remember that massive bet we hit last week on Noah Gragson to be the top finishing Ford, Rod, but he drives a Stuart Haas car. So, yeah, Josh Berry lets us down, and Ryan Preece lets us down, but Riley Herbst, well, sometimes he lets us down, but not this week, Rod. He's going to show up in the Cup Series this week. He's got 5 career starts in the Cup Series. Actually, has 2 top tens and 5 starts. Pretty impressive. Now that's all on Super Speedway, so really hard to look at any of that, of course, because it doesn't necessarily translate here, but Riley Herbst is a good driver. We've talked about him in the Xfinity Series a lot. I mean, he comes up just about weekly, right? A guy that we love. You're getting him at only 5,300, and you, again, you kind of look down in this area. You got Derek Krause, hashtag chasing trophies. Justin Haley is not a bad play. You got Gilliland, Burton, Voldemort, Zane Smith. God, I love Corey LaJoie, but I don't even want to play him. Austin Hill in a third RCR. I mean, we're getting a lot more expensive than where Riley's at now. And at 5,300, it's an SHR prepped car. It's going to be a little bit faster. Why do I feel like Riley ran in? Didn't Riley run at Kansas last year, Rod?
That is a good question. Let me pull up the.
I thought I had that somewhere, but
I'm looking at the bottom, which is probably where I shouldn't be looking. I don't see. Well, that's the advent. Yeah, so that's the spring. You said that was spring or the fall.
Well, I don't know which one it was, but I thought he raced here last season in Cup, but maybe he did. Anyways, I'm not really that worried about it. Anyways, Riley Herbst, I love him. Again, not a ton of stats to give you really because he's not made many starts, if any, on non-super speedways. But 5,300 SHR prepped car, Riley Herbst. I think he's going to kind of go under the radar a little bit. People are going to be like, it's a Rick Ware car. Oh, it's an Xfinity guy. Oh, he doesn't do Cup Series much. They're going to look right over him. They're going to take Kolig and Derek Kraus and Voldemort over Rick Ware Racing and Riley Herbst. Phil, geez, I'm disappointed in you. But other than that, Rod, love Riley Herbst this week, 5,300.
Indeed, so do I. You know what? It's weird because I took this next guy and I don't know why his name is in this sheet because I don't remember writing his name down. Full disclosure, guys, this last week has been an absolute 1,000% just blur. So
wait, you made a strong case for him on the betting episode, Rod.
Did I really though?
Yeah, remember he's the guy who led the RCR contingent to beat Rick Ware all these times.
That's true. That's probably why I did it. Okay.
So I think it was probably you who put it down.
Okay, you're right. Maybe see, this is what I'm saying. Thank you, Cody. That definitely gives me that confidence that I actually did it. But yeah, okay. So look, Austin Dillon, I'm gonna stick to my guns. Austin Dillon, I've been told that I'm too wishy-washy lately and I'm gutless. So let's go 6,500 on Austin Dillon for our low price driver, okay? Follow me on this one. Austin Dillon, not sexy, right? Austin Dillon, not a guy that's going to wow you at parties. He's not going to, people aren't going to be impressed when you bring up his name. He's averaging only 13.5 fantasy points per race this season. Again, nothing to write home about. He had 13 points last week at Dover, minus 12 at the Geico 500. He did have 43, though, at Texas. That was a good outing for him. He finished eighth in that race, but 1, 17, 11, 7, nothing. Nothing worth noting, right? But for some reason, this track in particular is one in which Austin Dillon actually does well. Last fall was maybe an outlier. Started eighth, finished 33rd. Before that, though, 11th place start, 10th place finish in the spring of this last race, right? 11th place start, 14th place finish in the fall of 2022, a 21st place start, and a 13th place finish in the fall of 2022, or in the spring of 2022, rather. 14th place start in the fall of 2021, 10th place finish, a 10th place finish in 2021 in the spring, 11th place in the fall of 2022, or 2020. So, I mean, that is, that's what, 1, 2, 3 top 10 finishes. And all but one of those are top 15 finishes for Austin Dillon on this track. And at the price that he's at $6,500, a top 15 finish, that's a pretty decent payday. And if he can do that and start somewhere in the mid-20s, that's even better for you anyways. So, look, that's why I wrote Austin Dillon down. I had a brain fart. You guys know how old I am.
I think that the fact that you looked at it and you were disgusted by it and you actually deleted it out of the document is a great case for how different of a play it will be. Because even you, who's been preaching about Austin Dillon all week, didn't even want to play it, Rod. So that is a great argument to how he'll be different. And really, his stats actually kind of back it up. He's a little bit of a mile and a half guy, Rod. I know that they kind of came down to strategy calls and stuff, but he's got wins at Texas and Charlotte. He's done it before, and he's had good runs kind of. It's hit and miss, but he can put together a good race. We saw a little bit of something out of RCR last week with Busch getting a decent finish at Dover. So, again, if they're maybe doing good on tracks they're good at, maybe Austin Dillon can get it done this week. And I think he's going to be very different because even the guy who's been preaching about him all week didn't want to play him. So, I like it.
Meth is a hell of a drug. No, it's just like, honestly, when you...
Don't do drugs, kids.
when you look at the name and it turns your own stomach and you have to convince yourself to play him because you put him in there, that's when you know it's bad. But gotta love it. All right, get out your whatever utensil of choice, your pen and paper.
Pen and paper, Rod. That's what we use.
We are going to go over the DFS plays for this Advent 400. Cody started you off with Tyler Reddick at 10,700 for his high-priced driver. I gave you Denny Hamlin at 11,300 for my high-priced driver. Cody stepped down to Bubba Wallace at 9,500 for his mid-priced driver. I said Joey Logano at 8,300 would be mine. And then Cody gave you Riley Herbst at 5,300 as his low-priced driver. I said that Austin Dillon at 6,500 would be my low-price driver. And believe me, when I talked myself into it, it was as hard as talking you into it. So ride these with a grain of salt, but have some fun. Cody, is there any money left over to play with to upgrade from Austin Dillon?
No, there's actually not enough money to fit all these plays in, Rod. So that's all right. That's how it goes. Again, we're not giving full lineups anyways. We don't know the starting lineup. We don't have practice and qualifying. So you'll have to make those decisions on your own, of course. Probably just leave Joey Logano out of the lineup, but who knows?
Just double up on Austin Dillon. See if they'll let you put Austin Dillon in there twice.
See if they'll let you put him in there twice. See how that goes.
Jesus Christ.
Let's see another scenario where Corey Heim will be helpful. You're going to have to get some cheaper plays in there because you're going to want these big dogs who are going to lead laps and score a lot of points.
1,000%. All right. Speaking of that, we don't need to lead laps in underdog. We just need to finish better or worse than the projected starting position of the drivers in which we pick. Again, underdog's got that full range up for you. They've got a lot of drivers this week, and I'm pretty happy about that. So there's a lot of choices.
Is really good, Rod. So what happened? I got a underdog article out at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So I got four plays I really like in that article, and I changed it up. I made different plays here on the show. One of them is the same. The first one I'm going to give out is probably my favorite one. So I figured I'd double dip, give it out here and in the article. But, Rod, go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Go to the NASCAR tab. You'll see that article. And it's got the rest of the underdog plays in there that I like.
Yes, sir. So yeah, and we'll give you out these ones right now, and you can feel free. Now you can only use five, so you'll have to leave out Joey Logano. No, I'm just kidding. You'll have to leave out one of them if you want to play them all. However, I mean, we highly suggest that you just mix and match and have some fun with it. All right, Cody, where are we starting first?
Yeah, and again, you can cross sports. You can cross. There's F1. If you go over to our YouTube right now, there's an F1. There's a short on there, Rod. I did a short with F1 sprint qualifying better or worse than for underdog. So you can mix and match with that. You can mix and match with the truck race, which we talked about yesterday. Again, every sport you want to. So, Rod, the one that I love so much, it made both the article and the show, Alex Bowman, better than 10.5. Big on Alex Bowman this week. He's top three in all three next-gen starts. Again, he missed last spring because he was out with his injury. But he is top three in all three starts that he's made here. Fourth in the fall of 2022 with a really strong run that day. Prior to the next-gen car, second place. Should have won that race. Man, he had a fast car. I was there. Brad Keselowski got him late. He comes in second place. Showed a lot of speed last week. Arguably one of the faster cars near the end of that race before he kind of got bottled up on pit road and bad track position. And then if you go back to last season, before that injury, Rod, again, we've seen Chase Elliott kind of break out. Now recovered from the injury. Maybe same thing with Alex Bowman here. A strong third place run at Las Vegas. He's won before at Chicagoland, a very similar track to this. We know Alex Bowman can get it done. He's had a good, again, all the hot seat talk, all this stuff, but he's had a very strong season so far. I think he's going to continue that. And again, doesn't have to win this race. Just finish inside the top 10 to hit this one for you. So Alex Bowman, better than 10.5.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it, too, on the back road yesterday about how strong these Gibbs cars are going to be and really how strong Toyotas in general are going to be. And then the only other team that we could think of that could even compete with them right now, especially in the Chevy camp, is this Hendrick team, right? I mean, Larson we talk about, and then if Larson's going to make a run, then can Chase Elliott make a run? If Chase makes a run, can Byron make a run? Can Bowman hang around? And really, that's all you're hoping for is these Hendrick guys to kind of be as competitive as the Toyotas if we think the Toyotas are going to run away with this race. So I like your Bowman play. I think you can get a top 10. And really, that's all you're asking for is a top 10. So that's great. I like that. One driver I do not believe will be in the top 10, that will be Ryan Blaney. I'm going to give him his finishing position is set at 9.5. Poor Ryan Blaney. You go from champ to a guy that can't even finish inside of the top 10. But this season, his average finish, 13.8, which, you know, in and of itself is one thing, but his average start, 13.5. He's not even starting in the top 10. You look at some of these tracks. He did finish third at Vegas, which was, you know, a mile and a half, and that's great. But here's the thing. That was in the midst of a second-place finish in Atlanta, and then he followed that up with a fifth place at Phoenix. But since then, 16th at Bristol, 12th at Austin, 19th at Richmond. He did have a fifth at Martinsville, so good for him, but 33rd at Texas, right? And he was running. He led 17 laps in that race and finished 33rd. And then 20th at Talladega, 7th at Dover. The 7th at Dover will make you go, what are you talking about, Rod? Whatever. But on Kansas in particular, his average finish, 16.2. Ryan Blaney has had one top 10 finish in his last six races on this track. 21st in the spring of 2021, 37th in the fall of 2021, 12th in 2022 in the spring. He did have a ninth place finish in the fall of 2028, but 16th and 12th in the last two races in 2023. I mean, I don't think he's going to get in the top 10 this week either, so give me the Ryan Blaney worse than 9.5 in this case.
Yeah, no argument from me here. Again, it's been tough for Ford. As good as we think Toyota's going to be, I mean, you could have, what, six Toyotas that easily beat him this weekend just because they should all be much faster. And that's not including then the Hendrick Chevrolets and any of these other guys who jump up in there. So, yeah, sorry, Blaney. Love you, dude. But it's been rough for Ford right now. And I think the plus, what, they're plus 750 to win this race just for Ford, Rod, when you've got, what, six or seven drivers underneath of that number on their outrights alone, is pretty telling on what to kind of expect from Ford this weekend, I think. So, yeah, back you on this one, Rod. Next up for me, I'm going to go to the worst then side of things with Kyle Busch, 10.5. I'm so out on Kyle Busch right now, Rod. It bit me a little bit last week at Dover. He ends up with a fourth place finish. I think it was just an outlier of a run. I don't think they fixed things. I don't think they're suddenly better. So you go back and you look and you say, well, he finished ninth place to Texas. Okay, so he barely squeaked in the under here or the better than here. But if you think about that race, Rod, how much chaos did we have? How much chaos did it take for him to get up there? Second place spun out, what, three different times in that race? Kyle Larson, that's the one where he lost a wheel, right? All sorts of things happened and stuff for him to barely squeak in a 10th place or 9th place finish. Not buying it. I think it's going to look a lot more like Las Vegas. We finish in 26th place, Rod. I think that's the Kyle Busch we're going to see this weekend. You go back through his four finishes here in the next-gen car. He was 7th here in the fall with a good run, but last spring, 35th place, he actually just spun out on his own. Lost it on the backstretch, hit the wall, ended his day early. You go back to September of 22, 26th place, and that was even in a Joe Gibbs Toyota, and we just talked about how it's all been all about Toyotas. Now in the spring of 22, he did have a third-place finish here in that Joe Gibbs Toyota, but I think we're kind of on the more of the 26th and 35th place Kyle Busch right now than the 7th and 3rd place Kyle Busch. If Kyle Busch beats me this weekend, fine. I'll take it, but I'm not buying into it right now, especially with the fact that these Toyotas are all going to be so fast and so good. And then on top of it, you pour in, like I said, with the Blaney stuff, all these other guys who should finish up there. I don't think there's room for Kyle Busch in the top 10. So Kyle Busch, worse than 10.5.
Probably makes you or makes Kyle Busch, yeah, just really wish that he was driving a Toyota still. I'm sure he's got his paws up on there.
Yeah. I mean, it looks so good last year, Rod. They come out and win three races at RCR early in the season. And you're like, holy shit, Kyle Busch's career is revived. Here we go. I had that, what was it, like 20-1 championship ticket I had taken before the season. I'm like, oh, yeah, buddy. And then it just fell off the wheels and it's not looked good.
he's definitely not somebody we want to do anything good. I don't think we predict anything good out of him. So, all right, we talked about the JGR drivers that we think are going to be good on this track, but there's one that really, I don't know that he's going to live up to his end of the bargain on this one. And that's Christopher Bell. And I say that because Christopher Bell is set right now, his finishing position.
Piano just fell out of the sky, Rod. Gosh.
Are you Ty Majeski? Missed me.
I think it hit Christopher Bell.
It hit Christopher Bell, but it definitely hit Ty Majeski as well. but no, listen, 7.5 is his projected finishing position. I that's How do we think that Christopher Bell? I get that Christopher Bell is hashtag good. I understand that.
Wow, are you saying he's not good, Rosh?
Oh, I'm saying he's hashtag good. I 100% think that he's good. But of all the JGR drivers, he has the worst finishing position. 14.7. That is worse than 11.3 for Martin Truex Jr. That is worse than 4.3 for Denny Hamlin. Now, Ty Gibbs, on the other hand, he's so young that it can't really, you know, he's got a 27.3, but he's only had three races on this track. You know, I don't know that I can really lump that in with a guy like Christopher Bell, who's got six total starts in that time. So, yeah, again, to me, in the last six races, Christopher Bell has the worst finishing position, 14.7 on this track altogether. It doesn't look good for him. And 7.5 is really wishful thinking for him, especially given the fact that it's so tough for him on this particular track. He's got 8 starts on this track in his career. So like we talked about with the last six, but he's got finishes of 23, 10, 28, 8, right? Then he's got 5 and a third, a fifth place and a third place, but 36th and 8. Only 2 out of those 8 starts have finished better than 7th place. It's just not necessarily his favorite track. He may get a top 10, but he's not in line for a top 7, in my opinion. So, again, for Christopher Bell, too, it's been such an up-and-down season for him. He does have a win. He's got 3 top 5s and 5 top 10s, but his average finishing position, Cody, 19.4. He's starting at 14.5.
Yeah, he's got a little bit of the Ty Majeski, Justin Allgaier syndrome of just can't avoid whatever the chaos is. I mean, if you take out the super speedways, 9 races this season, Rod, only 3 times has he finished better than the 7.5. So I think just the fact that, look, Christopher Bell could come out and be the fastest car in this race and win the race, and I don't think we'd be shocked by that. It's a Joe Gibbs car. We know Christopher Bell's talented, but just his inability to put together races and actually get to the finish without having something go wrong, it's not been good this year. And seen it so much lately, guys like Justin Allgaier, I mean, leading with 7 laps to go at Phoenix, and he blows a tire and puts it in the wall. Like, not anything even in his control. It just, when the bad luck bug has bit you, it continues to show up for whatever reason. And Bell's kind of in that area right now. So I think this is a low enough number that I don't mind taking it just because of the inconsistent finishes and not being able to get to the end route.
Poor guy. I feel bad. Like, he's such a good guy. It's just,
he'll be fine. He's locked into the playoffs since he's got that win, Rod. I don't know if you've heard.
Are you an NASCAR intern, Cody?
Yeah. Well, apparently, I mean, Dale Jr. even says they're locked in. So I don't understand where these guys learned math. But anyways.
Mathing's hard, Cody. Stop it.
It is hard, Rod. What's not hard is figuring out that Chris Buescher is not super great at Kansas Speedway, Rod. That's kind of what we're looking at here. It's been pretty rough for Chris Buescher, so I'm going to take the worse than 14.5 for Chris Buescher, Rod. 4 next gen starts, 0 times has he finished better than 14.5? Yes, 14.5 is the number. 0 times has he finished better than that. In the fall here, he was 27th. Last spring, 17th. It's fall of 22, he was 15th. Got close, but not good enough, Rod. 27th in the spring of 2022. Look, we know that things have gotten a lot better over in the RFK camp, and I understand that, but it's not really been that good for Chris Buescher as of late. Rod, let's look back here at what he's done lately. 17th last week at Dover, 25th at Talladega, though, you know, that's a super speedway. So 15th at Texas, again, you're not getting there. 15th at Martinsville, Richmond, Coda, Bristol, Phoenix. He actually had some decent runs there, but you go back to Las Vegas, 37th, got caught up in some stuff early on, so he didn't even, well, he completed a lot of laps, I guess, but not, oh, no, he didn't. He completed 27 laps. Okay, just kidding. That's not a lot of laps, right? He got caught up very early in that one, but it's not there for Chris Buescher right now, on top of, we just had the conversation about Ford and how they're not hitting right now. You've made the case earlier this week for RCR to finish better than RFK because things haven't been great. I think that Keselowski could maybe be the guy that upsets that apple cart, but I don't think it's Chris Buescher. I think Chris Buescher, worse than 14.5, is the way to go. I believe you'll agree with me on this, Rod, because we actually both had this in the document. Accidentally
at the start of the show.
So Cody and I were like the Family Guy episode in which Peter and Lois walk out wearing the exact same thing, and both of us had to figure out which one was going to go and change.
Well, and actually we did it on both the DFS, or yeah, on the DraftKings side and the underdog side. We both had Hamlin. We both had Buescher on this side. So I changed my DFS play. He changed his underdog play. And we're no longer wearing the same outfit.
We're not wearing the same dress. We're not Spider-Man pointing at each other.
To the point of, hey, that shows how we believe in these picks. And we both believe that Chris Buescher, worst of 14.5, is the way to go.
Indeed. All right. So, and my pivot was Christopher Bell, which, by the way, I feel better about anyways than the other one. So I like it. All right. Okay. So I don't know who's taken over my body. The truck series, I gave out a lot of worse thans, and this, I gave a lot of worse thans. So I'm going to give a better than, just because I need some positivity in my life. Oof. Okay. Oof. This one's a tough one, but follow me through this thread. Ross Chastain, because I wanted to talk about somebody we haven't talked about. Like, we talk about all these guys. We're not talking about Ross Chastain.
You should have picked the worst then, Rod.
We don't talk about Ross Chastain. But listen, Ross Chastain's average finish on this track over the last four races, 9.8. His finishing position, 9.5. So we're within the ballpark, okay? He's got one top five, three top tens in these six races. And so, you know, there's a saying, there's a chance. When you look at Ross Chastain on this track, okay, since he joined the one team, a seventh place finish in the fall or the spring of 2022, a seventh place finish in the fall of 2022, a fifth place finish in this race last year after starting third. The only problem was he had a 13th place finish in the fall, which sort of wrecked his run of top seven finishes, really, if we're going back to it. So he's 3-for-4 in finishing inside of the top seven in this one car on this particular track. If we make arguments for drivers to turn things around on tracks in which they do well, we have to throw Ross Chastain in here, even though his season has been not so stellar, right? Average finish of 13.3, average start of 17.9. He did finish fourth at Las Vegas, which, again, when we're talking about mile-and-a-half tracks, that's kind of what we're looking. He finished 32nd at Texas, so but he crashed out of that one, unfortunately. He was running okay, and then he ended up crashing out of that race. But, you know, sixth at Phoenix, it's a stretch. I get it. I know it's not going to feel comfortable. It's not going to give you the warm and fuzzies. But I feel like there is the possibility for Ross Chastain to finish in ninth place and cash this, or eighth place and make this correct. So, or seventh place again, right? I mean, there's it is a very much big range of possibilities for Ross Chastain.
Do I hear a sixth place?
Oh, no. No, I'm not going that high. I won't even go as high as fifth. I'd feel comfortable in the 7-8 range with Ross Chastain. But like I said, the range of possibilities is pretty deep, but I feel it this weekend. I don't know. It's something that speaks to me.
I'm glad you feel it, Rod, because I don't. I can't back you on this one. I don't feel like Ross Chastain is going to show up and be a better than 9.5 guy this week. Just kind of, I don't know, out on the watermelon man for this week at least.
Ah, look, that's fine. Watermelons will be eaten, and you just won't be a part of it. So, yeah. All right. Well, get your pen and paper back out again. We are going to give you our underdog plays for this race. Cody started you out with Alex Bowman, better than 10th and a half. I said Ryan Blaney would be worse than 9.5. Cody gave you Kyle Busch, worse than 10.5. I gave you Christopher Bell, worse than 7.5. Cody gave you Kyle Buescher. Well, might as well be a crossbreed. Chris Buescher, worse than 14.5. I gave you Ross Chastain, better than 9.5, Cody. We have reached the end of our episodes for the week. Let out a gigantic sigh of relief.
Woohoo! Friday.
Let's have some fun. I mean, listen, let's watch racing. Let's enjoy your favorite beverage. Sit back, relax. Miami's on for F1.
Yeah, we got Miami. We got the Kentucky Derby. We got trucks on Saturday night under the lights. We got the Cup Series on one of the best tracks on the circuit currently. It's going to be a good weekend, Rod. I'm pumped. I'm excited. Let's fucking go. Don't forget to go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Check out that underdog article that I wrote over there. I got three extra bonus plays that we didn't give out, or at least that I didn't give out today. So make sure you're checking that out as well. Get those underdog entries in. And follow me on the X as well, at Husker_Zeeb. Check out the F1 Gambling Podcast. Get your bets in for the Miami Grand Prix happening this weekend. It's like a 3:30 afternoon race or something like that. So nice, good American time. No 2 o'clock in the morning stuff, which is really a nice relief. So, yeah, let's go.
Let's
go. Good luck, everyone, this weekend.
Let's go. Follow me on Twitter, at RJ Villagomez. Link in the bio, everything I got going on. I am selling softball so you can throw at me so I can fall into water because apparently that's where we're at today. But it's all good, my friends. Follow me on Twitter. There's the YouTube link for the back road is on there. And having a lot of fun. I got an article coming out on Sportsbook Review today for the Miami Grand Prix as well. So you can find all of that there as well. We love you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday for the recap or Sunday, depending on how the schedule looks. And until then, everyone, let's go racing and let it ride.